Go.
Okay, so we're on the second wide line, the second very wide line on the Tes Zayin Omed Aleph. The reference back to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if you ever have to judge a Kohen Gadol, then he too also has special status, and therefore he will have to be judged by a Beis Din of 71, which of course means the Sanhedrin HaGadol in the Beis HaMikdash. So on the second wide line, says the Gemara, V'loi es HaKohen Gadol. It says that you would not judge a Shevet, you would not judge a Novi, and you would not judge a Kohen Gadol if there's less than 71 Dayanim there. Minohanamili. How do you know this to be the case? How do you know that you cannot judge with anything less than the Bezin of 71? By the way, it's important to point out, we pointed this out several times already, it's not just the increased number of Dayanim. Every single town, as we mentioned yesterday, Bisha Orecho, has a local Beis Din of 23 Dayanim. Nobody had a Beis Din of 71. There's only one Beis Din, there's only one Sanhedrin of 71, and that's in the Beis HaMikdash. They had a special chamber called the Lishkas HaGozis. So it's not just an increased size of Beis Din, but rather this is the Beis Din of Klal Yisrael. This is obviously the most senior Talmidei Chachamim and Dayanim of Klal Yisrael, and that's where they sat in the Beis HaMikdash. So, if the Kohen Gadol needs to be judged, the Kohen Gadol committed an Aveira for which he would be Chayev Misa, he needs to be judged because of his special status by a Beis Din, by the Beis Din of 71. Says the Gemara, Mino Hanamili, how do you know this to be the case? Omar of Adaba Ahavo, Da'omakro, because we have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, we've actually quoted this earlier on towards the top of the Omer. If you remember, this is the Pasuk written with Yisroi, when Yisroi recommended to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should introduce the whole judicial system of the Dayanim. And Yisroi explained that what you should do is, says the Pasuk, Kol Hadovar Hagodol Yoviu Elecho, quote unquote. Literally translated, and every great matter should be brought unto you. So if it's less, it means if it's an easier matter, not so difficult to resolve, then it doesn't need to go to such a senior Dayan, but otherwise it needs to go to you. Now you'll remember that we've mentioned in the past that Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of 71. So, if the Torah says, Kol Hadovar HaGadol Yoviu Elecho, quote unquote, says the Gemara three words now. Devarav Shel Gadol. We make a drasha. It doesn't mean Dovah HaGadol, the great matter, but rather the matter of a great person. Devarav, the issues, the matters of Shel Gadol, the affairs of a great person. Now, this Lechaira is not strictly the literal, simple translation. Surely the simple translation is Kol HaDovar HaGadol, if it's a big case. Big case meaning it's a difficult case. But the Gemara is not understanding that way. The Gemara is saying no. What it means is Dvarav Shel Gadol. Hadovah HaGadol means it's a great case, not because it's a difficult case, because it's a great person involved. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who judged whenever there's a difficult case. No, says the Gemara. It means Moshe Rabbeinu is judging whenever there's a great case. And Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of 71. So you see from over here that when there's a great person being judged, for example, the Kohen Gadol, then you need a Bezdin of 71. Have a look at Rashi. Yoviu Eilecho, Umoisha Bimkoim Shiva Ve'echod Koi. And Moshe Rabbeinu stands in place, as it were, of 71 Dayanim. Therefore, even though technically it's only one Dayan, Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of 71. Therefore, if the great case, meaning the case of the great person, has to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, that therefore is our Torah source, that the case of a Kohen Gadol has to be brought to 71 Dayan. Now, says the Gemara, and this is precisely the discussion, how do we know that the translation of that pasuk means the great case? Maybe it means the difficult case, but not the great case as in a case of a great person. So this is what the Gemara now discusses. It says the Gemara, Meisve, we have a kasha. Dova Godel, quote unquote. When it says in that pasuk, Dova Godel, it says you should bring to Moshe Rabbeinu the Dova Godel. Dovar kosher. This particular brisa translates, what does Dovar Godel mean? Dovar kosher, a difficult case. That's clearly not the way we just translated, and that's why it's a kasha. We've just translated previously Dovar Godel to mean the Dovar of a Godel. This brisa is not telling you that. This brisa is telling you Dovar Godel means it's a Dovar kosher. It's a difficult case. That's what it means, it's great. A great case doesn't mean it's a case of a great person. It means it's a very difficult case. And the brisa continues, Ata Oimer Dovar kosher. You're telling me that the translation is it's a difficult matter. Oi Einoi, or maybe not. How do you know? Maybe Elo Dvarov Shel Godoil. The Brisa indeed raises the possibility that maybe Dovar Godoil doesn't mean the difficult case, but rather it means the case of a great person. Says the Brisa, no. Kershu Hu Oimer, when it says quite clearly, Es Hadovo Hakosher, Yevian Ol Moshe, you see the Torah spells out that the difficult case must be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see, that which case has to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? The difficult cases. So if it says Dovar Godel, it must be the difficult case, not the case of a great person. Hare Dovar Kosher Amur. So you see that we're talking about a Dovar Kosher. So this is now the big question. What is the translation of the word Godel? Bring to Moshe Rabbeinu the Dovar Godel. So this brisa says it's clearly referring to not the case of a great person, but rather a difficult case. Question mark. Because we previously said that it doesn't mean that. We said it means that bring the case of a great person, meaning a Kohen Gadol, for example. Says the Gemara, you're right. It does not fit in with this brisa, but we have another brisa. Who da Omar? He is clearly telling you who's he. Rav Ada Ba'ahavo, who is the Amora who told us this original Teretz. He is telling us, ki hai Tana. He's telling you like a different Tana. So yes, I'm not trying to reconcile it with the Brisa we just mentioned, but his source is in fact from a different Brisa, the Tanya. Because we have a second Brisa where it says, Dovar Godoil. Dvorov Shel Godel. The second brisa says absolutely clearly that what does it mean, Dovar Godel? Dvorov Shel Godel. It is the matter of a great person. Ata Oimer. Now this brisa also proceeds to explain how do we know that that's the translation. So it says, Ata Oimer. You're telling me that it's to be understood, Dvorov Shel Godel. That it is the matter of a great person. Oi einoi elo dovar hakosher. Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means the difficult case. So he says, no. Kasha hu oimer hadovar hakosher. Because we have another pasuk that says, bring the difficult case to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first brisa understood, fine, that just shows you what translation in the first pasuk is, that it means the same thing. This brisa says the exact opposite. If I've got another pasuk that says, bring the Dovar Kosher to Moshe Rabbeinu, then what must this other pasuk mean? It can't mean the same thing, because then you're telling me the same thing twice. says the Gemara, Keshuva Omer Adova HaKosher, quote unquote. If I've got another pasuk that clearly talks about the Dova HaKosher, Hare Dova Kosher Amur. So we've already spoken about the Dova Kosher. So what am I going to do with this pasuk of Dova Godel? Oma Ani Mekayim. How am I going to establish, what am I going to understand, Dovor Godel, quote unquote. It can't be that I've got two psukim telling me the same thing. I've got to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu the Dovor Kosher, and also the Dovor Godel, which means the same thing. Well, then you're just teaching me twice the same thing. So it must be that there's two separate halachas. You've got to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu either the Dovor Kosher, which is the difficult case, also the Dovor Godoil, which must mean something else, the case of a great person. So therefore, Homoani Mekayim Dovor Godoil. So how will I therefore learn what does it mean in the first pasuk of Dovor Godoil? It must mean Dvorov Shel Godoil. So I'm forced to translate. But when it says Dovor Godoil, it can't mean the difficult case, because that's already stated elsewhere, but rather it means the case of a great person. So now let's come back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a Kohen Godoil, who clearly is a great person, has to be judged by 71. How do you know? So Rabbi Adaba Abba said, because it says Dovor Godoil, and that means the case of a great person. It turns out that his teretz actually depends on these two brises. The original brisa disagrees with him and says that Dovor Godoil means Dovor Kosher. Whereas the second brisa, and that really is the Gemara's answer, Rav Adaba Ava was following the second brisa. The second brisa says, no, there's two separate halachas. There's one halacha of Dovor Kosher, and there's another halacha of Dovor Godoil, which means the matter of a great person. Which means there is, of course, one outstanding question. The second braisa, l'chayra, seems to make much more sense than the first braisa. Why? Because it definitely states clearly in the Torah, Dovor Kosher. Dovor Kosher is not up for discussion. There's only one translation that clearly means a difficult case. Now, what are you going to do with this posuk, the other posuk of Dovor Godoil? So the second braisa seems to make a lot of sense when it says that Dovor Godoil must be referring to a different halacha. So I've already learned that the difficult case you've got to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu, now I'm learning you've got to bring the case of a great person to Moshe Rabbeinu. That makes a lot of sense. But the first braisa needs explanation. The first braisa says, do you know what Dovor Godoil means? Well, if the Torah writes elsewhere, Dovor Kosher, well, that shows us that Dovor Godoil means Dovor Kosher. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but that means you've got two psukim telling me the exact same thing. So why would I need two psukim? Why do I need to be told the same halacha twice? Surely the second braisa makes much more sense that I'm not being taught the same thing twice. I'm being taught two separate halachas. So that's going to be the Gemara's next kasha. But Larry, you want to ask something?
Yeah. The only issue I have is that to define when to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, this person, this person, this person, this person, meaning Novi, Melech, Kohen Gadol, etc. But when you say difficult case, that's very objective. Who's to decide what is difficult and what's not difficult?
No, it just means that others were unable to pass him.
What they're really saying in a difficult case is first you start with 23. If we can't figure it out, we go to 70?
Yeah. By the way, it's well known that the Mefarshim and Medayik, if you look carefully, it's very, very interesting. The Torah says that which case has to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Dovor Kosher. Yisroi actually worded it a bit differently, a Dovor Godoil. So Mefarshim explain, Yisroi, of course, coming from his non-Jewish background, he considered the most important case the case that deals with the biggest amount of money. So as far as he was concerned, which case needs to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? The million-dollar lawsuit. But if it's only $5, well, anybody can die and can sort out. Moshe Rabbeinu switches, says, no, as Torah law, makes no differentiation between $5 and $5 billion. It's a davar kosher that needs to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's a hard case, it makes no difference whether you're arguing about a dollar and a half or $1 billion. The amount of money does not in any way influence the importance of the case. I mean, either way, so we're a little bit stuck over here, and this is going to be the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Vahai Tana. And the first Tana, Trey, Kroi, Lomo, Li. Question mark. Why do I need two psukim telling me the same thing? Look at Rashi. Vahai Tana. This Tana, the Dora, she made the drosha that Dover Godel means Dover Kosher. Lomali Trekre, why do I need two psukim telling me the identical thing? Says the Gemara, Chad letzavo'o ba'alma, v'chad la'asiya. One was the instruction, and one was the carrying out of the instruction. Meaning, we all remember the story. Yisrael sees Moshe Rabbeinu sitting there from day and night, and he says, this is what you should do. Then it was implemented practically. So therefore, the Torah is not telling me the same thing twice, but rather there's two parts of the same story. First, it was the instruction by Yisrael. This is the way you should set up the whole judicial system. And then it was the Asiya. This is, in fact, what was implemented. So the Torah is not teaching me the same halacha twice. Yisrael is telling you that the Dovah Godel, which means the difficult case, should be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Torah says, and a difficult case indeed was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so we've just launched the tennis match then. So now we need to go to the other opinion. How can the other opinion say that what? I've already written Dovah Kosher, so Dovah Godel must mean the matter of a great person. No, how do you know? Maybe one is the instruction and one is the asir. Says the Gemara, v'idach. So what about the other opinion? How does he know that you can make two separate droshes from over here? So he says, because in Cain, if it was really true that it's not two separate halachas, just rather one is the instruction and one is the implementation, Lichtoiv, it should have simply written, Oy Godoil.
Another Godoil.
Lichtoiv, Oy Godoil.
The Oscar would put it in the second Godoil.
Yeah, so where'd you put the comma?
Here, I suppose.
So how do they translate this line, Rabbi Yosef? Im kein lichtoiv oy godel, where do they put the comma?
If that were so, comma, scripture should have written great and great, or difficult and difficult.
Right. Why does the Torah have to differentiate between the Lashonis? If it really was referring to the instruction and then the implementation thereof, well, why does the Torah refer to it once as the Dovah Godoil and once as the Dovah Kosher? You should be consistent. It should say Godoil and then Godoil, or Kosher and then Kosher. Says the Gemara in Cain, Lichtoiv, Oy, Godoil, Godoil, Oy, Kosher, Kosher. Either it should be written the word Godoil twice or Kosher twice. But if you use different words, my Godoil, quote unquote, Umay kosher, quote unquote. So if the Torah changes the Loshen, Shma Mina Tarti. So I hear from over here that obviously if it's two different words, it must be two different halachas. Okay. Says the Gemara.
But.
Boi Rebbe Loza. We have the following question. Rebbe Loza posed the following question. Stoiroi shall Kohen Godoil Bekamo. A wonderful question. Imagine the Kohen Godoil owns an ox, and the ox gores and kills. So we've mentioned before that when an ox gores and kills, the ox is called a shoyer haniskal, it needs to be stoned. Now, how many dayonim do you need ordinarily for a shoyer haniskal? So if you remember, 23. Why? Because we compared the shoyer to its owner. If the owner would ever have to stand trial for an avera that would be mechayev him a death penalty, like Chilul Shabbos, for example, then he would need 23 dayonim. So too, his shoyer also, when standing for trial, needs 23. So now we have a wonderful question. If you always compare the shoyer to its owner, well, what do you do in the case of when the owner actually needs 71? For example, he happens to be a Kohen Gadol. So maybe if the Kohen Gadol's shoyer goes to Gaul and kills, he should need 71, just like its owner. So look at the Gemara, that's a beautiful question. Boyer Belozo, shoyer shel Kohen Gadol bekamo. How many dayonim would you need on the Bezdin when you're dealing with the shoyer of the Kohen Gadol? Lemisas bailim didei medaminon lei, underline the word didei medaminoi. Are we comparing always the ox to its owner? Oidilma lemisas bailim de alma, underline medaminon lei. That means we certainly know it's Mefurish Apostle, if you remember the Gamba Ol of Yumos, that we have to compare the shoyer to the owner. Do we compare the shoyer to its owner or to the general ownership? That's what the Gemara means. Are we comparing it to Bailim Didei, the shoyer's owner, or Bailim D'Alma, the regular ownership? Look at Rashi. Shoyer Shel Kohen Gadol im Hamis ish, if the shoyer killed a human being, therefore in turn has to be killed himself. And we know that the shoyer has to be compared to the bailim. The question is, which bailim? Do you look at every shoyer and work out who its bailim happens to be? And if it happens to be the ownership of a Kohen Gadol, well, then the shoyer would need 71, or no? Maybe when the Torah says you compare it to its owner, it means to the general ownership. But we don't look at it. It's not a case-by-case study. Says the Gemara, let's try and resolve this question. Omar Abaya. So Abaya says, I can resolve this question. Midakami boyele shoiroi. Abaya interjects, and Abaya says at one moment, what was your question? Your question was only concerning the shoyer of a Kohen Gadol. Now, we all remember, in fact, these are the opening words of our perek and our masechta. What is the title of our perek? Dine Momonos Bishloisha. If it's a financial issue, no death penalty, then he needs three dayonim. So if Reuven or Shimon or Levi comes to Bezdin and has a monetary dispute with their friend, that needs three dayonim. So Abaya says to Reb Elozo, I see that you're only posing the question with regard to the shoyer of a Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, midakom miboyele shoyeroi, I see that you're asking a question about his ox. Michlal. So surely I can deduce from your question, the mamoinai pshitale, that you've got no question at all about the momoin of a Kohen Gadol. So if a Kohen Gadol has a dispute with his neighbor about some loan that they have, how many dayonim would you need for that? So Abaya says, well, Reb Elozo, you never posed any question about that case. So obviously you only require three. So with regard to the momoin of the Kohen Gadol, then you're saying normal rules apply. Otherwise, you would have posed that as a question as well. You're only posing a question in the case of a shayr. Now, what exactly does abaya mean to point out? Isn't it the most obvious thing in the world? We have a rule. Dine momenus b'shloisha. Who in the world cares who the owner of this money is? Whether it's a monetary dispute between two ordinary people or between a kohen gadol? Yes, obviously you only need three. Why is abaya even pointing this out? So Gemara says, Pshita question mark. Aren't you just stating something which is overwhelmingly obvious? Yes, of course Reb Elazar only posed the question in the case of a shoyer. Why? Because a shoyer, we have a special halacha that tells us to compare the shoyer to the owner. So therefore Reb Elazar has a very valid question. What do you do when the owner happens to be a kohen gadol? Fine, that's a very valid question. But in the case of momenus, when you're just talking about a kohen gadol who somebody claims owes him money because he lent him money, yes, obviously you only need three. So what on earth is abaya pointing out? So he says, no, mahu detema, because I might have suggested that even a monetary dispute involving a kohen gadol, maybe that should also require 71. Why? Hoyil v'kosav. Since it says in the Torah the phrase we had before, kol hadova hagodol, quote unquote. So maybe that means kol, underline, kol dvarav shel gadol. Maybe it means every single issue pertaining to the Odom Gadol, maybe it always needs 71. Whether you're judging the Kohen Gadol for a death penalty, whether you're judging the Kohen Gadol for his monetary argument, maybe there would have been room to suggest that you always require 71. And that's why Abaya is pointing out, Komash Malon, says Abaya, that's why I'm being medayik. That if Reb Elazar only posed the question with regard to the shoyr of the Kohen Gadol, so what do I see from there? Abaya says, I have every right to medayik that, oh, I see, wow, that's interesting. Apparently, you're not making this a general rule with regard to any monetary matter involving a Kohen Gadol. But don't tell me that's poshut. It's not poshut at all. I, in fact, might well have said that, yes, maybe you do need 71 because kol dovra gadol. So it turns out, therefore, in the final analysis, Reb Elazar's question was never resolved. It's left as a question. Reb Elazar posed the question, what's the halacha of a shoyr belonging to a kohen gadol? And Abaya actually did not resolve that question. All Abaya said to him was, from the very fact that you're posing a question with regard to a shoyr, I see that you're not questioning at all a regular monetary dispute involving a kohen gadol. Morris says, yes, you're 100% right. Okay, fine. So let's resolve the question about the shoyr. The Gemara does not resolve the question. The Gemara leaves it hanging. Right. Yerub Larry.
What was the Hava meaning to understand from the beginning that kol adavar means only in yonei chayav misa?
You're right. That was to the contrary. The Gemara's Hava meaning was it doesn't mean only chayav misa, and maybe it means every single case pertaining to the kohen gadol always needs 71. And that's why Abaya was pointing out, surprised, oh, that's interesting. If you're only discussing shoyr, well, then apparently you're considering dovar ha-gadol only refers to when I'm judging the kohen gadol himself for a death penalty. That's why Abaya was pointing it out as a chiddush. Have a look at Rashi. Midakom miboyele shoyroi shma mino. So what do I hear from that suffix? Shoyroi, underline. It's only the case of the ox. Huda masapkele. That's when you've got your suffix. Mishum diksir, because it's written, remember this sugya? Vagamba olov yumos, quote unquote. We had the pasuk that says that the owner has to die, and we explain it doesn't really mean the owner has to die. What does it mean? Kamisa sabailim. we understood that to mean that the shoir has to be judged just the way, in the exact same way as the bailim would be judged. So I see that's the only case that you're asking your sofik. Avol shar b'moinoi. But in all other monetary cases, apparently you're not asking the question at all. Pshita lon, it would seem to be obvious. The b'shleishim. That you'd only need three dayanim. K'chol dinei momonos, like all other monetary issues. And the Gemara says, yes, but that's not so obvious. Why one more Rashi? Kol devarov. Because I might have thought that every single case involving a Kohen Gadol, every issue, b'afilu m'moinoi, maybe even monetary actors, liboi Sanhedrin Gedolah would need 71. So apparently, so we've resolved one shaila, but not the other. If somebody comes to a Kohen Gadol and says to him, I lent you $1,000, you haven't paid me back, and they go to Beis Din, how many dayonim does that need? The answer is, it needs three. With regard to regular, normal monetary cases, we do not distinguish between Kohen Gadol and anybody else in Klal Yisrael. If we're dealing with the Kohen Gadol himself, meaning the Kohen Gadol is standing for trial for a death penalty, 71. It's the middle case that we don't know, that we haven't resolved. It's not a regular monetary case. And it's not a death penalty case. Rather, I'm talking about the shoir of the Kohen Gadol, where we have a special halacha that kemisas ha-bailim, that we've got to compare the shoir to the bailim. So that's where we have our sofik. Do we compare the shoir to its own particular private owner? In which case, the shoir of the Kohen Gadol would require 71, or maybe not. The Torah simply means that you compare the death of the shoyer to the general ownership, which means therefore 23. And that the Gemara has not resolved. Okay, we have to hold it over here. As mentioned, we're going to leave in the country hopefully tonight. So Be'ezus Hashem, we will resume, all being well, next week, Sunday morning, Parshas Korach, Abo Aleinu L'Tova.
Is this the wedding that you and I spoke about?
Yes, it is. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach.
Please
yes,
wish them a special mazel tov from me.
Okay, Bli Neder, thank you to everybody who helped out. Very, very appreciated.
To see you, Tova.
Okay, be well. Have a good trip. Okay. Have a good time, everybody.
Hey, sure. Safe.
Amen. Cold.